Hi, I'm John Green. Welcome to Crash Course Religion. So imagine you're floating in space 250 miles above Earth's surface. Around you is seemingly endless emptiness. Everything you know and love is down there. Your friends, family, pets, religious community. Up here, you're alone. But there's a tradition connecting you to the world below and the heavens above. A responsibility, really, though it seems impossible to fulfill in zero gravity. And yet you have to find a way, or else risk failing in your religious duty to God. When Malaysian astronaut Sheikh Muzaffar Shakur prepared for a Russian mission to the International Space Station in 2007, he faced all these challenges. As a devout Muslim, he prayed five times a day in the direction of the Kaaba, the holiest site in Islam located in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. But once you're in orbit around the Earth, days last only 90 minutes, and when you're on the International Space Station, Mecca changes location in relation to you, moving at 17,400 miles per hour. God's face is weird. Thankfully, Shakur didn't have to figure out what to do on his own. A group of 150 experts in Islamic law and practice at the National Fatwa Council of Malaysia determined how he could adapt his prayer practices to life in space. He could project the Kaaba's location into space mathematically, move his head instead of lying down, which is a bit difficult in zero gravity, and use his point of departure to calculate the time of day. In the end, Shakur was able to maintain his religious obligations just a little differently. While this may seem like an extraordinarily modern problem, this type of calculation has been a part of Muslim life for more than 1,000 years. I mean, as early as 964 CE, Muslim astronomers were updating and translating maps of stars to better position themselves in relation to Mecca. But of course, this is just one aspect of the expansive religion of Islam. With more than 2 billion practitioners globally, it's the second largest religion in the world after Christianity, and people have practiced Islam in tons of different ways and places for over 1,400 years. For example, unlike Shakur, not all Muslims pray five times a day, despite that being a pillar of the faith for many. So what is it that unites these diverse peoples and practices? Well, let's start with a big one, their reverence for the Prophet Muhammad. Muhammad lived in Mecca, and around 610 CE, he experienced something extraordinary. While contemplating in a mountain cave, he received a direct message from Allah, the Arabic word for God, through the angel Gabriel. While people of many languages practice Islam, Arabic remains important because it is the language of this message, known as the Quran. Muhammad preached the words of God to the people of Mecca, but many were not fans of what he had to say, especially the part about there being no other gods but Allah. Because of that, early Muslims faced harassment and persecution in Mecca. Eventually, Muhammad and his followers fled the city, traveling over 200 miles to Medina in a journey that would come to be known as the Hijra. This journey, which occurred in 622 CE, would later be used to mark the beginning of the Islamic calendar. So like the year 1 in the Christian calendar is the year of Jesus's birth, sorry, globe. The year 1 in the Islamic calendar is the year of the Hijra. Eventually, the Quran was written down by Muhammad's followers, and it remains the most well-known holy text of Islam. But there are others. Muhammad's actions and teachings were gathered in a collection of reports called the Hadith, which some, but not all, Muslims use today for legal and moral guidance. Now, you may have noticed that we haven't actually shown Muhammad yet, and we won't, and that is for a reason. Many Muslims choose not to visually depict Muhammad, and in some cases, any sentient beings at all, to avoid idol worship or devoting themselves to something other than God. While Muhammad plays a central role in Islam, Muslims don't worship him. They worship God. Critically, unlike other founder figures like Jesus or Siddhartha Gautama, Muhammad was both a religious figure and a political leader. He was the first head of the Ummah, or the Islamic community, and as such, he conducted diplomatic and military affairs alongside religious leadership. And after he died in 632 CE, a major split forever changed the landscape of Islam. So there was a dispute over who should become the caliph, or spiritual and political leader, of the Ummah. Some believed Abu Bakr, a close aide to Muhammad and his father-in-law, was the right fit, while others thought Muhammad's cousin Ali was the better choice. This disagreement ultimately led to the branching of Sunni and Shia Muslims, which still exist today. They develop different governing structures and ways to pray, and they honor different leaders and texts, though they both have Muhammad and the Quran in common. Within both Sunni and Shia traditions, smaller branches and communities began to form too, just as we've seen with other major world religions. Like, Sufism is a particular approach to the faith that's found across many different Muslim communities. It's focused on personal and emotional religious experience. Like, you might recognize the whirling dervishes of Turkey, who are known for their spinning, trance-like dances and are mentioned in the poetry of the Sufi mystic Rumi. As Islam continued to spread, an era known as the Islamic Golden Age began, starting in the 8th century and lasting until the 13th. And with it came a surge of art and mathematics and astronomy. Breathtaking feats of architecture, such as the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, were constructed during this period. Astronomers like Abd al-Rahman al-Sufi were deepening our understanding of the cosmos, while mathematicians like Muhammad ibn Musa al-Khwarizmi were discovering algebra, which made solving for unknown variables a whole lot easier. I mean, not easier for me, but easier for humanity. I'll be honest with you. On some level, x plus 2 equals 8 will never make sense to me because x is a letter and the rest of them are numbers. Now, when it comes to what Muslims believe, there's no better place to start than with the pronouncement of faith called the Shahada. In English, it goes, "There is no deity but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God." Shia Muslims add the phrase, "And Ali is the custodian of God." The Shahada unites more than 2 billion Muslims around the globe, and countless more from the past. Muslims recite the Shahada during important milestones and in everyday life. It's part of the azan, the daily call to prayer, and is sometimes spoken over people at birth. It's also possibly the most common last words in human history, as people often repeat the prayer as they pass away. The Shahada sums up two of the main tenets of Islam. First, there's just one God, no more, no less. Islam is a monotheistic religion that really stresses the absolute oneness of God, a concept known as Tawheed. Second, the Shahada states that the Prophet Muhammad is God's messenger. Now, those are just a couple of the central beliefs that guide Islamic theology. Others include a belief in angels, like the one who appeared to Muhammad, and the belief that the Quran is the actual words of God, not something Muhammad interpreted or edited. Muslims also believe in other prophets referenced in the Quran, including Moses and Jesus, and they typically believe in the idea of a final judgment, when humans will go to heaven or to hell, and in divine predestination, the idea that God knows all things before and throughout history. And all of these beliefs come together with that central devotion to the oneness of God. There's no, like, business about the Trinity, where three people are also one God. No, it's just one God. So if we've looked at some of the things Muslims believe, what do they do? What does it look like to practice Islam? Well, it can shape how you dress, eat, and interact with others. Muslim life is structured by a few different constructs that are common to some, but not all practitioners. Like, many Muslims will only eat halal food, a dietary restriction that means abstaining from alcohol, blood, carnivorous animals, pork, and other meat that hasn't been prepared under Islamic rites. Many Muslims also participate in the weekly Juma, or Friday prayer at a mosque or a place of worship. In many Muslim-majority countries, it marks the beginning of the week. The day itself was laid out in the Quran, and in Arabic, the day is known as Yom al-Jumu'ah, or the Day of Assembly. While only men are required to participate, women can and often do too. The prayers are followed by a sermon led by an imam. Many mosques have a designated professional imam, but anyone from the community that the congregation deems knowledgeable enough can serve in that role as well. And then there are the five pillars of Islam, which are sort of like guidelines that many Muslims attempt to emulate in their daily lives. Their purpose is to cultivate taqwa, or righteousness and consciousness of God. It encompasses ethical living, but also a kind of ever-present connection to the divine. The first pillar is Shahada, the declaration of faith we mentioned before, and the second is Salah, or worship and prayer, like what Shakur was doing on the space station. Zakat is the next pillar, also known as almsgiving. It's a donation to those in need, whether through Muslim-majority governments collecting and distributing the funds, or individuals giving money directly. Then there's Psalm, which is fasting during Ramadan, a holy month when Muslims abstain from eating, drinking, smoking, smoking and sexual activity during daylight hours, this is meant to create space for religious reflection and for family time and traditions. The final pillar is a pilgrimage to the Kaaba known as the Hajj. This journey is meant to happen at least once in your lifetime as long as you're physically and financially able. And so every year, Mecca is filled with millions of pilgrims from all over the world. Despite the incredible diversity of Islam, massive gatherings like this show how unifying it can be as well, because wherever you came from and wherever you are, it is always possible to turn toward Mecca. But I want to be clear that the five pillars aren't an official framework for, like, all Muslims. For example, Shia Muslims practice the Arba'een, a pilgrimage that typically has almost 10 times more participants than the Hajj. Millions make this nearly 20-day pilgrimage to the city of Karbala in Iraq every year. In much of Western history, Islam has often been essentialized and monolithicized, if that makes sense. It's been turned into one thing. But Islamic expression is as diverse as any global religious tradition. And finding where you fit into the world for you may involve looking up to the stars, looking down at guiding texts, and looking to each other for guidance and connection. That's the real heart of the experience of Islam, or any other religious tradition. Just as al-Sufi and other Muslim astronomers use the cosmos to orient themselves to their most sacred place, Muslims today look to their fixed stars, like the Quran and the Hadith, to maintain their traditions that connect them to the past and to the future. The Ummah is vast as the cosmos itself. Join us in our next episode when we will explore another vast cosmos, the religions of Africa. I'll see you then. Thanks for watching this episode of Crash Course Religions, which was filmed here at our studio in Indianapolis, Indiana, and made with the help of all of these nice people. If you want to help keep Crash Course free for everyone forever, you can join our community on Patreon.